But the disciples, when they were faced with a problem that was bigger than themselves, they didn't run from it. Instead, they ran to God in prayer. And sometimes when we're in the situation that we're in and we don't know what to pray, we go back to God's word and we see what he's done time and time again. Prayer is how God shapes us.
Well, good morning. It's great to be together, isn't it? And be able to sing like that and to worship together. And as Brad was praying there, I thought it was a beautiful prayer. Not because he knows exactly what to pray and how to say it, but just sharing his heart with our Heavenly Father. And hopefully that's something you've taken away from the series that we've been in. To pray frequently, to pray often, to pray in the moment. So often we just go about our day and not even think about it. But starting our day with a conversation with our Lord, ending our day with a conversation with our Lord, and the life-giving presence of listening to him, of talking with him. And so today we're going to continue on, and this is the final week as we look at prayer. And the title of today's message is Bold Prayer. Maybe a better title might be Fearless Prayer. And as we think about what that means, I always like to refer back to what is birth truth, what is identity truth, and what is growth truth. So you can see those. We talk about this often, but you don't have to answer, but in your mind, answer this question. What do you think prayer is? Is it a birth, identity, or a growth truth? I believe it's a growth truth. It's part of how we grow in relationship with him, our mission statement, growing deeper in our relationship with Christ. Prayer is one of those ways. How do you get to know anybody? How do you get them to know them better? You spend time with them. You talk with them. You listen. So prayer is a growth truth. But make no mistake, without a birth truth, which really is what truth do I need to understand and then believe and accept to become a child of God, to be forgiven of my sins? Those truths are called the gospel. That's how we're born into the family of God. That's how we become his. We do that by placing our faith in what Christ has done for us. On the cross being that sufficient payment for all of our sin, past, present, and future. And then what's identity truth? It's now who we really are. The old passes away, the new is born. And so when we place our faith in this birth truth of trusting Christ, then our identity now changes. We used to just be one of God's creation. He's the creator. He loves us. He loves everyone. He's the creator. But when we trust Christ, we get a new identity. We are born into the family of God. We become his child. There's a lot of other amazing things. But our prayer comes out of understanding birth truth, identity truth, and then as part of us growing up as his children, that's what prayer is for. That's what it does for us. And it's important to know that our understanding of who God is affects our prayer life. It affects what we pray for, yes, how often we pray, with what intensity, right? With a relationship thing, or are we just trying to learn how to say the right words? Or we heard someone pray like that one time, and man, that was amazing. I'm gonna try that. He just wants us to talk to him. Just whatever's on your heart. And it's interesting because he knows already what's in your heart. You know what I found? I don't always. You know, sometimes when I'm praying and I'm beginning to pray, and I'll pray for those things, I think Denny called it a couple weeks ago, frivolous prayers. Prayers that we're just not aligned to what God's doing. But you know what? As I continue the conversation, it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. This morning I was praying that I would not embarrass myself. And Karen usually encourages me, not every Sunday, but most Sundays, she'll say, "Hey, don't embarrass me by embarrassing yourself." Hey, thanks, honey. And it's actually quite comforting because that's a low bar. She's not saying, "Hey, go really give him life, go really pre," you know. She just said, don't embarrass yourself because that embarrassed me. So it's a low bar. I don't always get over it, as you know, but that's kind of my prayer. But as I'm praying for things like that. Lord, give me strength. I'm not feeling great. Lord, help me. Help me that way, physically. But the longer I talked with him this morning, the deeper and deeper the conversation got. Then I started praying for us. Instead of praying for my health and maybe your physical health, I started praying for our hearts. That we'd be open to what God has for us as his dear children. And as I say that, I know, and it's very difficult to an audience this size, a congregation this size, to actually be thinking about where everybody's at in their own spiritual journey. We are all over the place. But God has something for each one of us. Not because I'm able to discern that and know and hit every possible person in this room. That's not possible. But God's word and his spirit allows for each one of us to hear directly from him. As we look at his word, as we talk about his truths. And I want to take just a moment to address a group of you. It's people that are on a journey. And it's a journey that they have questions. Maybe they grew up in church. Maybe it's been a long time, though, since they've been to church, and they're wondering, is that all really true? They're wrestling to own their own faith. I know there's others here this morning that you're not even sure how you got here. You're not even sure why you're here. You know, maybe the Lord on your one day off and you're going to sleep in, he woke you up and you came in. That journey, can I just tell you, brought you here for a reason today. And that's to hear more about who God is and who Jesus Christ is. To those two groups that I talked about, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever prayed? I'm guessing you have. I prayed hundreds, if not thousands of times before I became a Christian, before I placed my faith in Christ. And yeah, a lot of it was frivolous and this and that, but the older I got, the more intense and more meaningful and praying for relationships and those types of things. That's just part of my journey. I can appreciate the journey that you're on. In fact, most of us in this room have had that very same journey that you're going through right now. I want to tell you, you're in the right place. This is where you should be. And you are welcome here, and we're so glad that you're here. And I hope that you'll hear the message. And as you've prayed before, that reveals your heart. Now, to illustrate that, I wanted to go and look at a picture. No, hold on the picture. Let me set it up. There's a renowned philosopher, J. Roll is his name, and he actually was talking about prayer, and he says, "I only talk to God when I need a favor. I only talk to him when I don't have a prayer. Who the beep am I to expect a savior when I only talk to God when I need a favor?" Go ahead and show the picture now. Okay, so Jelly Roll. You know how he got that name? His mom. He's a chubby little kid, and she started calling him Jelly Roll, and it stuck. That's not just a stage name. He's had that a long time, but he's on a journey. Remember we said that part of our understanding of who God is affects how we pray? You know, in that song that he sang, and I don't know if he's a philosopher or not, but he's an artist, and he sings, and he's very popular, but he's revealing his own heart in that. One of the lines that I didn't read is that I have an old hardback King James beside my bed covered in dust. So what did he get right? He's praying. He knows that he is not in control of everything. And he's had a lot of life experience. You maybe picked up on that, right? A lot of life experience, and he knows that he's not in control. That's what we should do. We should be there all the time, that we're not in control. That's what Brad was praying about, that we're not in control. The world says, take control. We're not in control. And so he's looking to God, who is in control. He got that right. He also knows that he needs a Savior. But what did he get wrong? He got wrong the fact that God isn't going to hear him because he hasn't been reading his Bible. He hasn't been good enough. How can I expect a Savior when I only talk to God when I need a favor? We need a Savior. And I pray that he finds his way to Christ, the true Christ. I pray his understanding of who God is and who Christ is that only grows so that he knows that you don't have to clean up your act. You don't have to change from everything you've ever done wrong. You can actually just come to Jesus. In fact, you can only come to Jesus knowing that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And our Savior died to save us. Jesus died to save us. Not because we were good enough or we tried hard enough or we made enough promises or we prayed the right way at the right time. That is not how a person gets saved. A person gets saved when they place their faith in Christ and what he's done for them. Not what they've done for him, what he's done for them. And what a message we have to take to the world. Those of you on that journey, what a wonderful message for you to hear. Who you've been looking for is him. You know that there's something missing. He is what's missing in your life. So we continue, and as we pray, that God exposes our hearts. And the longer we talk with him, and the more we're silent with him, the more that we hear from him, the more that we can experience his love. This complete, perfect love is always there, but in his presence, when we're talking with him, we feel that. We feel that security and that love. So we're going to be looking really where we started 4 weeks ago in this series. And that's in Luke 11. I'm going to read verse 1 and then 2a. And then I'm going to ask you to stand up and we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said, "This is how you should pray." So go ahead and stand up. This is my favorite version. There's several versions of the Lord's Prayer. But being a Methodist, this is the one I learned. Okay, you guys ready? Let's start. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Teach us how to pray. Jesus is praying. He comes back. He teaches how to pray, and that's what he tells them. And then Aaron talked a fair bit about that in the first week. But I want to go down on the story, because this isn't the only teaching about how to pray. Jesus does what he does better than anyone. He's going to tell them a story. Because we always, particularly when we think about theological things, it gets really murky, at least for me. So Jesus tells a story. So I'm going to continue on in verse 5 of Luke chapter 11. I'm going to read down through 8. Then, teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from the bedroom, don't bother me, the door is locked for the night, and my family and I are in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and get it whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. Now, in today's world, you say go to the grocery store, right? That wasn't the world they were living in. I experienced a culture where there was actually no stores anywhere. So if somebody needed something, it didn't matter whether it was day or night. It didn't matter. They would show up. I suffer a bit from insomnia. Now I'm going to be awake. I'm already irritated. And I'd go out to the porch, and they'd come at night because then no one could see them, and they don't have to share what I gave them. So they're doing this a lot. And I prayed for a giant dog that would scare people, but God did not provide that, didn't answer that prayer. Go to the door and sit down, and literally, to not be rude, they can't just hit you up for it. Hey, I need a bag of rice. I need 2 batteries. My flashlight doesn't work. It's pitch black. I can't see. Help me out. But that only came after 20 minutes of talking. So, being the astute language learner I was listening for a phrase that would say something like, oh, hey, what's going on? What, you need something? Something like that. And I learned this term, kumoi kuso. So I would go to the door. Karen used this quite a bit herself. So you go out there, stagger out, and I learned. I just hit that right up. Kumoi kuso. And they'd get to the point a lot quicker. And then they'd leave, and I'd go lay back in bed being irritated. And what I found out later was basically I was saying, what the hell do you want? So you can see that coming from me, but not so much from Karen, right? But she was doing it too. We didn't know. So what do you want? How does that relate to prayer? I have no idea. Oh, yes, shameless persistence. They were shamelessly persistent. Shamelessly persistent. And that's what Jesus is saying here. And this is a parable, not an allegory. A parable has a meaning. An allegory can have many different meanings, line by line almost, a truth that applies directly to another truth. This isn't that. This is just, hey, I want to teach you more about praying. Yes, here's the Lord's Prayer, but let me tell you something else about how you should pray. Shamelessly, persistently. Shamelessly and persistently. He continues in verse 9 through 13. And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So this first part is about how we're supposed to pray. And now it gets into how God will respond. Now, don't hear in reading this passage, I'll knock and I'll be shamelessly persistent. And if I pray long enough and hard enough, and I promise to give God at least half of what I win in the lottery, I'm going to win the lottery, right? We do that, right? I'm persistent. No. There's something very specific that he promises to open the door for, and that's the giving of the Holy Spirit. When do we get the Holy Spirit? When we place our faith in Christ. And now we have a new identity. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The guarantee of God saving me through his Son, Jesus Christ, is that I now have the Holy Spirit. That's the prayer that I guarantee you if you pray, asking for the forgiveness of your sins, and that you're relying exclusively on what Christ did on the cross to be sufficient payment for those sins. He will save you. He will save you. And then you have his Spirit, and now you're his child. So how should we pray? You know, in Romans 8, it says, God knows that we don't even know how to pray. We don't even know how to pray. And that's okay, because now the Spirit of God is actually praying for us, because the words can't always muster what we feel and how we think. We can't find the words and know that the Holy Spirit is actually praying for us, because we don't know how to pray. But we can sit in his presence in prayer, open hands, open hearts, and let him speak to us. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Boldly, fearlessly, with courage, going to the God of the universe, the creator of the universe, the one who knows everything, that sees everything, even knows the intents of our heart that we don't even know. And it says because we're his children, we can go boldly, fearlessly into his presence. We can be shameless when we talk to him. There's no shame. We can be shameless, and we can take those things that are small and insignificant. We can take those things that are overwhelming to us and feel like it's crushing us. We can take all of that, and we're supposed to do that with persistence, consistency. We're able to do that because of what Christ has done. John 1:12 says this, yet to all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The two key words in this verse are believe and become. Believe and become. Believe, that's how we experience that birth truth, and become is who we now are. And we become what? We become God's dear child. So think about children. You know, one of my heartaches, if not the biggest regret, is that I wasn't a better father. I don't feel a lot of emotion very often. Some would say never, not true. I do. And when I think about raising my our four kids, I have regrets. Was not the kind of father that I would be now. Did the best I could. I thought I was doing right. So it's a point of pain for me to think about my kids. And now we have grandkids. You know what the difference between being a parent and being a grandparent is? One is a lot of fun and the other one is horrible at times, right? It's just fun. But I look at that, and we can go out in the lobby after this, and you'll see a parent, mom probably standing there talking, and a kid will come up, and they'll be shamelessly persistent. Mom, mom, mom. Somehow mom has the ability to tune that frequency out. I can hear it. I can see it. I'm waiting. I'm distracted. I can't talk now because I'm like, are you going to? Nope, nope. But the kid doesn't give up. There's a persistence. And they'll go until mom finally hears. Or someone says, are you going to just deal with, can you talk? That's the picture of what we're supposed to approach God like. Dad, dad, dad. Now, the good thing about a heavenly father, not father like I was, or maybe some of you were, or maybe how your dad was, it's not a bother. It's not an inconvenience. And you only have to say his name once. You only have to say it once. And that, the Lord's Prayer starts with what? Our Father. You know, it doesn't say, and think about this, it doesn't say our boss in heaven. I'm not approaching him like a boss. It doesn't say like our master. And he is, right? It doesn't say our judge in heaven. That's not how we approach him. We're his child, and we get to say, Dad. We want to say it once, and he's listening, and he's not bothered. He's not irritated. He loves it. So I say maybe it's easier for me to see that in being a grandparent, and George and May will be very, very persistent. And George will say, hey, Gramps, you wanna play with me? I thought you'd never ask. I'd love to get down there on the floor or out in the yard or in the sand pile and then be told by a four-year-old the right way to put cars on a car hauler. I guess, but no, but I do. I actually love it. That's what God is like. Will you talk with me? Do you have time? That's what I got going on. I'm going to be a part. Like, I want to be a part of what you're doing. So as that happens, there's also this thing that I think about, the way that you respond as parents. This is a sidebar from prayer, but one of my regrets was not being gentler. That it probably took 50, 60 times of my kids asking me something before I even heard it. Not realizing how quickly those years would go by. Yes, the days are long, but the years are quick. And I'd love to go back, and we know that I can't. I remember one time, our two youngest, Merrill and Hayden, and Hayden was probably 5, maybe 6, and I don't know how many times he said my name, but I was busy, and finally, he asked me something. Shamelessly persistent, there he was, and he just kept asking. So, whatever it was, I didn't want to deal with it. Usually I just say, hey, go talk to your mom. And she would say, well, go talk to your dad. Would she say, would he say, that type of thing. But I said, maybe. Maybe. And so as he and Merrill are walking away, I hear Merrill say to him, Hayden, as the older, wiser sibling, Hayden, that means no. And you know what? It did. It means no, but I'm not going to tell you that until the next 5 times you ask me. Be attentive and know that your Father in heaven is attentive. He's just waiting for you to talk to him. Share your heart. No wrong way to do it. just share your heart, your burdens, the good things, the hard things, the horrible things. We're needy, and we need our Father. And Father knows best. I want to end with that. Our Father knows best. In that story that we read that Jesus told them, it says, if a child asks for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? The answer is no. But what if a child asks for a scorpion? Would you give him a scorpion? Or would you give him an egg? Give him an egg. Scorpions are dangerous, painful bites. It's happened. I've seen it. I've felt it. I've experienced it. It's awful. Father knows best. It's no different than your kids coming and asking for something that you know that might hurt them. So when we pray, we need to pray not just persistently and shamelessly, but with trust. And I'm just telling you, you and I can trust Him and how good and great our God is. Why don't you stand up as we sing about prayer?
What's your impossible? Your I need a miracle. What's got you barely hanging by a single thread? What looks so hopeless now? What weighs down your heart with doubt? You beg for a breakthrough, but no sign of breakthrough yet. When you cried and you cried till your tears run dry, the answer won't come and you don't know why. You wonder if you can bow your head even one more time. Heard every single word you're saying, so don't stop praying. He's close to the brokenhearted, saves those who are crushed in spirit. The Alpha and Omega knows how your story ends. When you cried till your tears run dry, the answer won't come and you don't know why. You wonder if you can bow your head even one more time. Oh, do it one more time. Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees wear out the floor. Don't stop believing. 'Cause mountains move with just a little faith. And your Father's heard. End. Don't stop praying for deliverance. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and amen. Oh, don't stop praying for the sickness healed. Don't stop praying for His power revealed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and amen. Don't stop praying for the kingdom come. Don't stop praying and His will be done. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees.
who you are and your holiness, and we do come in awe. And just to think that we can approach you as little children because of what you've done for us, we thank you for that gift of your Son. And we thank you that we're able to pray without a microphone. Amen. We can be in your presence all together right now. And as we spend our day, as we walk around, go into meetings, drive across town, go to the grocery store, we can be praying and be in that relationship and experience your love, experiencing your peace, because we trust you. And we know how good you are, and we know that you love us. And we do ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a great day.